Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you news on a geekly basis. As always, it's your host, Dom, a.k.a. Brother Dom all over the internet, a.k.a. Tuxedo Flask, a.k.a. the Nerd Nick Cannon. And once again, I am joined by the coolest co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey everyone, it's me, Stephanie, a.k.a. Captain Steph on Twitter, a.k.a. the Snow Queer on Tumblr, a.k.a. Steph Boy RD, a.k.a. Madam Mimosa.
Hey, it's her.
Et cetera.
Et cetera.
How are you?
I'm good. Hashtag up the ante. Hashtag shock the world. Oh, yeah. I'm doing great. I had an amazing weekend.
Are those the Overwatch League hashtags for your game, for your teams of choice?
For my two teams, yes, they are. Houston Outlaws and San Francisco Shock, baby. I'm excited about those teams a lot. And I got to watch 4 days of preseason. That's a lot of games. They have a, in January, they have a 6-month season starting. So it's very long.
It's intense.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, those are the teams I'm rooting for, but I have favorites on most of the teams, so it's one of those things that since there's no Pittsburgh team, I don't have like any super hardcore dying allegiance to, so it's just like pick a team you like before someone gets really hot, so they should not like a bandwagon jumper. we'll probably talk about that stuff a little bit later. Other than that, I just had like a restful weekend and saw the lady friend. Nice. And some other friends. How about yourself?
I had a pretty decent weekend. I did not leave the house yesterday except for, like, the one obligatory, like, walk 1 foot down my street and hit the Pokestop that I can't reach from my apartment to keep my streak going. I read 2 books.
You say so casually.
Really didn't do anything else. I mean, like, I watched some TV, I listened to a bunch of podcasts, but... And I did go out for a little while today. I spent too much money on ingredients for baklava.
Because
I'm making baklava? A bunch of it for the Christmas parties.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, I don't think I'm making anything for any parties I'm going to here on out for the rest of the year, unless something happens. But yeah, that's cool. We finally picked a winner for the Sonic Mania giveaway many months away.
Right.
But we did want to get like a nice pool of people, and our friends over at OC Remix did retweet the link and helped us get a little bit more traction. So we did get shout out to them, and we did get in contact with the winner. We got to shore that stuff up, but we'll be sending that out pretty soon. And I think it's a good enough time to say, since we're in the beginning of the episode and before people tune out, we're going to do another giveaway, I think probably just next week. It'll be real easy. Since I think we'll get a lot more traction right off the bat this time. But in the spirit of the holiday season, I think we're cool with, we're going to give out two sets of, the $10 tier of loot boxes in Overwatch.
Yes.
That's a cool thing to do, right?
I think so.
Quick and easy. I think it's going to have to be for PC people, because that's the ones we're able to buy and just give people without having to, like, do a whole bunch of like shipping and handling and all that. So that'll be a nice thing to do. It'll be real quick. So we're going to have two winners instead of one. So it's double your chances of winning. So we'll have the details on that probably in the show notes, and we'll put out a tweet. But it's going to be specifically, since the winter event is coming and there's going to be lots of limited skins and all that, it's a nice little thing. And, you know, supporting stuff, even though loot boxes are kind of a hot topic, it's a lot of people are pointing out that Overwatches are, while predatory, some of the least predatory.
I'm gonna say like the least bad.
Yeah,
some of the least bad.
They at least aren't actively making you pay to win the game. They're just making you want to give them money for stuff that ultimately has no value, but it looks awesome. So there's that. And here's hoping they actually have some other holidays represented besides just Christmas. Specifically Hanukkah and hopefully Kwanzaa, but, you know, that'd be cool to see other stuff. But that's enough dilly-dallying, because we have hella stuff to get to, right?
Oh, yeah, it's been a busy week in nerddom.
Yes, it has. We got no reprieve, but that's good. News is good. And just a peek into how this week has gone, a Dark Sabrina the Teenage Witch reboot was announced. So yeah, that's a thing.
That sure is a thing. Is it going to be on the same network that does Riverdale? Like, because since Sabrina was an Archie comic, like...
I mean, I thought it was just going straight to Netflix the way that Archie did do.
Oh,
I
did originally? Yeah.
I thought it did. And then it got to the CW, but or maybe the other way around, but it'll probably be in that same sphere.
I think it was the first way, yeah.
Yeah, so...
But do you think it's going to be, like, part of the greater Archie cinematic universe, or...?
I don't know, because...
I guess, like, because that ostensibly introduces magic into Riverdale.
Is there not already magic in Riverdale?
And I don't think there's already magic in Riverdale. Okay. Having not watched it, I cannot say for sure.
Yeah, but... I don't know. That's the risk there, because it's super magical in Sabrina. I just hope Salem gets to talk again.
Yeah, I hope Salem is as the star of the show as he was... Like, as goals, as, like, a old wine uncle kind of person.
He was that. He totally was that. Wine uncle. Hashtag the goat, even though he's a cat.
That cat's the goat.
The cat, the goat. I'm just thinking of, like... I don't know. I'm thinking about cat's animals a goat. Lot.
That's his,
He's Sonic the Hedgehog character.
His Sonic the Hedgehog OC.
Cat's the goat. No, I saw Zootopia for the first time today, so, like, I'm just thinking about animals and stuff.
Did you watch it because of
No, we must. That's relevant, I guess. That's a nerd thing. No,
pro-life, but apparently not actually pro-life Zootopia comic.
No, I was hanging, and I was gonna take a nap, so Zootopia was put on, and then the nap never occurred. So now I know the plot to Zootopia.
You have seen Zootopia.
I like the movie. It's pretty alright. Definitely mixes up its metaphors a little bit.
That's what I've heard.
Which is. Actually, I think works to its benefit a little bit, because you know the thing that, like, when you have orcs or robots or whatever the minority of the week is as a stand-in for actually marginalized people, it's kind of like, mm-hmm. these people or these creatures, whatever they would be, are actually terrifying and you have every right to be afraid of them, versus, mm-hmm. like, real-life marginalization, you don't have a right to be afraid of these people. But in Zootopia, it's kind of weird. Because mm-hmm. there's people that are in the predator class that are definitely not able to hurt people that are just, well, not people, but animals that are bigger than them, such as, like, bulls and, like, hippos and stuff, since they're kind of, like, herbivores or whatever it be. It's like, they're not a predator, but they would definitely wreck your shit. Like, you're a fox. Mm-hmm. You're not killing anything big. Yeah. So, like, they get disrespected still, so it's kind of like this mixed metaphor of, like, don't be a racist. Eh?
So, don't be a racist because your ass is going to get kicked.
But also, you could kick other people's ass, too. So it's just, it's a mixed metaphor, but I think that actually helps it from being as problematic as it could have been. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's a cute little movie, but that does dovetail us into that Zootopia comic going around.
Yeah, yikes.
Did you read that? Do you know anything about this, really,
I actually did not even see the entire of the real thing. It just, like, appeared, like, fully memed. It, like, sprung fully memed on my Tumblr dash.
Yeah, I've seen nothing but the memes. I saw, like, the Sears air conditioner commercial version.
Yes!
I never saw the Sears air conditioner commercial, or remember it. So I just thought that was the comic. I'm like, because, yeah, of course someone would draw Nick and Judy just kind of, like, hanging out, having domestic problems, like air conditioning.
That was, like... I had forgotten that was something that existed until I read that, and it, like, literally, like, my body, like, astral projected back to hearing that in my past.
So,
like,
I don't even remember hearing it, so I'd have to go track that down with the explicit purpose of this meme. But apparently what this is, it's I guess it's an abortion story within Zootopia about Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde. And according to the artist... They weren't trying to make a pro-life comic. They were trying to make they firmly believe in a woman's right to her body. Mm-hmm. So it just got misconstrued, which I think is interesting, to say the least. But, yeah, it's been memed to hell and back, and, it's drawn really well, though. The artist isn't a hack.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about their writing skill, because I've only seen memes, but they are a hell of an artist. So that's a thing going around. I don't know the title of it, but, you know, it's a thing.
I'm sure if you just Google pro-life Zootopia comic, you'll eventually hit on the real thing.
Well, if you type in Zootopia on Google, it's one of the
the top searches already.
Yeah, so there's that. Yeah, so there's that. Cool stuff going on. Speaking about interesting things, this is not a really good segue at all, but House of Cards is coming back, but Robin Wright's going to be the star. Because as we know, Kevin Spacey is not really beloved in Hollywood right now. Which at the same time, you know, glad he's getting his payment, but I just wish I could be on a fly on the wall in the houses of like all these terrible men that have been called out for their crimes. Like, yo, how's Woody Allen still working? And he has a movie coming out. And like, I saw a commercial for it because I was watching TV today for like the first time in a while. That's not a statement of me being better than anybody. I watch a lot of garbage, but I don't watch it on TV. But there's a movie coming out by Woody Allen, and they write, like, one of the first, like, they do a couple shots, and this is, like, written and produced by Woody Allen. I'm like, you think you try to hide that? Like, you think
you think that would not be what you led with at this point in the world.
Because I think we're all, well, not everybody, but most people are at the point where, like, yes, the man makes good work, but he's a terrible human. Stop working with him. And, you know, we're getting so many people out of the paint right now. Like, how's this dude still allowed to operate? Shouldn't be a pass for anybody else. I'm just saying, we need to probably crack down on this guy.
Yeah, that said, I am glad that this was the choice that they ended up making, because, like, otherwise, like, all the people who were
back on House employed of Cards.
By House of Cards.
Oh, yeah, they don't deserve to lose their job just because Kevin Spacey.
Just because Kevin Spacey is the worst, like.
Yeah.
Probably, he's not the worst, according to what everyone, like... like,
according to the news recently?
According to the news, there are significantly even worse people than him, apparently.
I mean, I could have told you that without knowing other stuff. Yeah. We just know what he did.
Exactly.
Shame, though. Maybe, yeah, Robin Wright is going to lead House of Cards, which, I mean, the last episode that I saw, or in the last promo that I saw, you know, from the first season anyway, it seemed like she was the more interesting character.
Yeah, that's what I think the sounds I've been getting.
Yeah, it's just
from people who actually watch it.
Yeah, it's just that he was the lead character, so we got to see where he was coming from. But it was always like, his character was like kind of compelling, but she could have been more compelling if she would, like, she just wasn't the lead, so she didn't get lead time, which, you know, shame. There are good celebrities still, though, such as Ryan Reynolds. I really hope that it doesn't I hope it doesn't turn out that Ryan Reynolds is a scumbag. I don't have faith in anybody anymore, but I'd like to hope that he's just, at worst, just like an annoying dude. But he doesn't even seem to be annoying. Maybe a little bit smarmy, but he's going to be play Pikachu in that live action Detective Pikachu movie coming out. We talked about because a couple
that's
weeks
like ago. That's like a thing that's happening.
Yeah, so apparently Detective Pikachu does talk. It's not going to be Danny DeVito like so many people wanted. Ryan Reynolds feels as odd of a choice.
Yeah, it feels just as out there.
People joked about Danny DeVito, but he was the Lorax and Phil from Hercules, so it's not like he hasn't done animated characters. They're just all like a little bit gruffer.
Yeah.
He could have played Pikachu, I don't know. But yeah, it's going to be Ryan Reynolds.
Which is still going to be fucking wild. And this isn't something that's, like, part of the Pokemon universe, so it's not as weird for him to have, like, a speaking voice.
No, it's not Ash's Pikachu, it's just a Pikachu, and it's not, like, canon or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another thing that's happening, and, you know, it's not the worst thing to happen, you know. It's like some Nightville type shit. You know, very, very weird and out there.
Yeah. Speaking of.
Yeah, speaking of.
So speaking of, Night Vale is being developed for a TV show at FX. I do not know how they're going to do it. Like, as excited I am that the crew has been this successful, Night Vale fandom, first of all, has been such a hotbed of, like, casting hot takes in terms of race and, like, headcanon over the last, since it existed. So I'm not sure how they're going to keep Cecil, or, like, how they're going to play, like, portray the Cecil character, because, like, the guy who, like, the actual Cecil who does Cecil Palmer's voice is has got, like, a very recognizable voice.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they would want to keep him as, like, maybe just, like, a voiceover person and never actually show him and just have the other people as cast or something, or what they're going to do, because, like, I don't know.
They could have him in the shadow.
Yeah, like, everyone has, like, the fandom has this issue with consistently fan-casting Cecil as this, like, dapper white guy.
And he's canonically not that, right?
He's canonically not anything. Like, we have no idea. Like, people have, like, debunked the dapperness thing because there are scenes, or, like, there are, like, episodes where he's like, I wore my best furry parka to dinner with my husband. And you're like,
You could be dapper and do that.
Dapper in a furry parka. But yeah, I mean, like, Carlos has dark skin, like Latino dark skin. Like, we know that the Apache tracker was a white guy who was racist.
That's fair.
But, like, other than that,
they should just, like, they should make him...
Most of the, I mean, like, the other people in the town, like, they're racist. Like, Tamika Flynn is black. The mayor is black.
Isn't this, like, in the Southwest?
Yeah.
So everyone's at least tan. Like, the white people are tan. They should, you know, okay, so if they can sort of dub over the room, they should just dub over Cecil in the show. Like, have the original voice actor do it, but, like, have a different person play him every episode. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's what one of our friends was saying. Like, it'd be, like, cool to just have, because, like, there's kind of a sense... in fandom, at least, if not necessarily, like, it's something that you could uphold with canon, but not necessarily prove, that Cecil is kind of, like, an eternal being who's just, like, kind of, like, a watcher of Night Vale, or, like, a reporter on the things that happen in Night Vale, rather than, like, a purely human person. So, like, having him be a different physicality every episode wouldn't necessarily be...
off.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, I'm interested to see how they do it, what happens. Hopefully it'll be good.
It's weird making a show out of something that's sort of fandom esoteric the way that this is. I don't know if esoteric's the word, but it's sort of obscure, I guess, is the word. And
yeah.
Because, like, do you make this show for the diehards, or do you make it for a new audience with nods to the diehards? The way that comic book movies kind of are... they're not for anybody, because they're definitely not for a casual audience, but they're definitely not for the comic book fans. Like, they're reaching more for a casual audience.
Yeah.
It's almost like comic book movies are built for the kind of people who would like comic books but don't. Like, the people who would obsessively look through trailers and then try to search Wikipedia articles to find out the stuff about these movies, but didn't already actually know these things, so they wouldn't care if you changed them. And I feel like you could do that with Night Vale, but... like, but then again, that's obscure enough that, like, who's gonna watch that, like, unprovoked, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of weird things, Tommy Wiseau wants to be in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. I don't have a lot to say about that. It just would be funny.
Yeah, I wonder if it would, like, if someone was like, sure, let's do that, if it would be, like, something along the lines of, like, Daniel Craig was in The Force Awakens, but he was a stormtrooper with one line, and you didn't actually see his face.
That would be cool.
So, I mean, that would be fine, because I think the English princes are going to be in in The Last Jedi in the same kind of capacity. Like, Prince Harry and...
oh, okay.
What's his name? The other one?
I don't know the other princes.
Kate's husband.
Prince Louis, like... are you talking about One Direction here, or what?
Right.
Well, that, I mean, you get the Jar Jar situation. I don't know. You can make anybody... make him a stormtrooper. Oh, hi, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
And apparently the disaster artist is pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
But, yeah. We're staying in the stars. There's going to be a Tarantino Star Trek. Did he get optioned for it? Do you want to do it? I don't...
He really wants to do it, and everyone's really confused and wondering why he wants to because, like, the ethos of Star Trek is so far from Tarantino's film style, like, as almost as it's possible to be, like, the hopeful communist utopian future versus Tarantino's, like, super bloody, like, super, like, curse-loading directing style.
But I think Tarantino has, like, his wildness is on purpose enough that, like, he's aware of it, you know what I mean? Like, he can write quiet moments, like, he can... I'd like to see him do, like, maybe not Star Trek, but something with that kind of pacing and tone. Because I think he could do it, you know what I mean? Like, some of his best scenes are the ones where people are real close and... not close physically, but kind of, like, the quiet moments where zoomed in things happen, you know? Like, Tarantino did Inglourious Basterds, right? That's him?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the scene where, Christoph Waltz at the very beginning comes into the house where they're hiding the Jewish people. It's like a very quiet scene and
it's intimidating. Very intense.
It's very intense, but like nothing was really happening. It was the whole thing of it. So I think he has the ability to do these things, but he's like, but it'd be cool if I shot somebody at a 90-degree angle, but they flew away at a 45-degree angle, like, because that's really ridiculous, and have Samuel L. Jackson. We were joking, me and some people were joking on Twitter, it'd be like, yo, how are you gonna, like, what reason do you have to say the N-word in Star Trek?
Yeah.
And, like, we're like, we're gonna let these jokes fly, because, again, I think he's a very talented filmmaker personally, but the man has his hang-ups.
I think the thing that frustrates me the most about the whole situation is less the idea of a Tarantino Star Trek existing, just because, like, I don't have to see it if I don't want to, but the idea that some random male director can just say, I would like to make a movie in this famous franchise, and literally within a week, the cards fall into place.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, that's the thing.
I can't even, like, think of a female director with, like, there are, like, who has... I mean, like, there aren't female directors with similar name recognition. Maybe, like, Ava DuVernay and Catherine Bigelow, like, are the only two, like, female directors I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, if we give Patty Jenkins one more movie, she's gonna be up there.
Yeah, Patty Jenkins. Yeah. But, like...
I don't know. I like Lexi Alexander, but I only know her because I heard her in an episode of Fan Bros. And she has a resume. This isn't a shot to her work, but I barely know any directors. And most of the directors I know are because they do, like, major things. It's...
I can't imagine, like, even Catherine Bigelow's either won or been nominated for an Oscar, or, like, Ava DuVernay is amazing. Like, I can't imagine even if one of those two people said, I'd like to make a Star Trek movie.
It would happen.
That it would happen like this. So that's kind of what pisses me off.
We need to get more female directors in there.
Yeah. Agree.
It's odd. We were talking about last week. It's funny that when we try to, like, say, hey, who would we fantasy cast, like, a movie for? We were talking about having Janelle Monáe as, like, the Joker. Mm-hmm. It's like, she's not really an actress, is she?
And she's been acting in things more and more often, I feel like, but her primary mode of expertise is music.
Right. I find that problematic.
It's kind of like Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, we have to, like, reach into, like, musicians to get, like, to cast our female characters. Because there's not that many, like, super known actresses. I feel like, for every kind of role, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad.
But I feel like that we kind of typecast the general Hollywood bunch as, like, certain roles as well, you know? Like, oh, she couldn't play that, like, crazy evil villain person because...
She's America's sweetheart.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's also because most of the actors, like, a lot of the white actresses, unless they're one of the older ones or something, kind of are very similar to me, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's, like, part of the problem is that, like, to make it big in Hollywood, you look a certain way.
Yeah, like, you know, like, what role would you give to Jennifer Lawrence that you couldn't theoretically give to Emma Stone? I don't think of much, and they don't even really look that much similar. I mean, and then there's
Anna Kendrick. Don't look that alike, but
and, yeah, Anna Kendrick actually is pretty different for some reason. I don't know why. She fills the quirky role,
you know. Yeah,
Pitch Perfect 1 through 3, and her best role of all time. She doesn't get enough credit for Scott Pilgrim.
Sister, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Stacey Pilgrim, you know, she killed that role. So good.
That came up as a trivia question on something the other night. It was, what movie is Anna Kendrick or Aubrey Plaza and what other
Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
No.
The girl who played Roxy then.
Yeah, Brie Larson.
No, Brie Larson played...
She plays Envy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brie Larson, Aubrey Plaza, and Anna Kendrick. What movie were they all in? I was like, I know this.
Yeah, you do know that. It's good trivia. that movie, I don't think that movie passes the Bechdel test, does it?
I don't know, but maybe
like the book does.
Maybe when Ramona's talking to Katara X, but even then, Katara X is mad because that's Roxy, right?
Yeah, what do you mean Katara? What's...
She's Katara's voice actress.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe they're just still yelling about Scott, so I don't know.
I think they're yelling about Scott and Gideon in the movie. I think in the book, they're just having coffee at one point. Like, he's not even there. Like, they definitely, like, kind of hook up a little bit while he's not there. So, that movie, I like the books better because they definitely exhibit that everyone around Scott is also kind of shitbags. He's just the biggest, shittiest bag. And they also seem to have lives outside of him, but, you know. We have other stuff with female actresses, though, you know. Female actors, women in roles, words. Yeah. Jessica Jones season 2 trailer? Is that a thing? That's a real thing?
That is a real thing that happened yesterday.
I thought we were going to be on season 3 of that.
No, because they put it on the back burner to make more shitty racist Daredevil and The Defenders, which I don't know anything about The Defenders because I didn't watch it and I don't plan to.
Well, she was in there, I guess.
She was in there. So, Shane, like, she would. Like, the actress was busy with that part of things, but, like, I don't know, I'm excited about it. The trailer doesn't really say much at all about what the plot of this season is going to be. A lot of the dialogue is just about, like, hey, Jess, you have trauma from last season. You gonna deal with that? No. Cool.
So, isn't that the plot of the first one, but, like, a different trauma?
Well, I mean, like, the specific trauma of having to fight evil David Tennant.
Okay.
In the first season. In the first season, she has trauma from being brainwashed and kidnapped by evil David Tennant for a while. And now that he's dead in this one, she has to deal with all the, like, the shit she did while she was under his orders and all that kind of stuff. And, like, being fighting with him and killing him again. And also, but yeah, but I have no idea what this actual season is going to be about. Aside from that.
Okay, I mean, that's pretty solid. The, like, trauma stories always are easy enough to create, I guess.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's going to be interesting because I think Jessica fills, like, a very interesting space in terms of female characters because she's so, like...
Cool.
What we would consider traditionally masculine about the way she deals with things. Oh, like,
okay. By punching stuff?
She would much
stuff?
Rather, like, punch something and drink some whiskey in whatever order appeals to her at that time, then, like, she doesn't want to access her feelings or deal with them in what we would consider a healthy way.
Fair enough.
So I think that makes her a very, like, interesting kind of rare female character.
I'd say so, yeah.
So I'm interested to see how this season goes.
Solid. More Marvel stuff. Marvel Rising, more heroes.
Yeah, Marvel's been busy. So Marvel Rising is an animated feature that they're going to put out in the next year or so, which is interesting to some extent.
Squirrel's going to be there?
Yeah, especially, I think the most interesting thing to me about it, besides the lineup, is that, like, Squirrel Girl's going to be on it, and the same woman who's doing her voice on that in the Marvel Rising movie is also the woman who's going to play her live action.
Yeah.
And the same thing, they have Quake, who is the character that Chloe Bennett plays on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is going to be voiced by Chloe Bennett in this show. Weird, slightly weird thing is that they gave her, like, purple highlights, which is, I mean, I don't know that Quake herself is Asian, like, in the comics, but Chloe Bennett's Asian.
Oh, so it's that thing again.
It's like that weird, like, Gogo Tamago, like, Mako from Pacific Rim, like, Asian girls have colorful highlights.
Yeah.
Trope.
Including Nia Chow after she meets Scott, Nia Chow.
Yeah, so, like, that's a weird choice.
That's so weird. That's such a weird thing, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, this is racist, but how?
Mm-hmm.
And then you learn how, and you're like, that's weird.
That's deep cut and weird, but okay. Like, it just makes you're like, why do they keep doing this? Yeah, but anyway, the other characters in the lineup include, I think Eli Bradley, one of the young black men who plays Patriot, or who, like, is under the codename Patriot in the comics. I think it's Eli Bradley, but...
Patriot sounds like a not Captain America version in, like, Dexter's Lab or something. Except that's Major Glory, but, you know.
Yeah, I think, well, in the comics canon, Eli Bradley is the grandson of Isaiah Bradley, who was, like, the first Captain America in that Red, White, and Black comic. They decided to make full canon. Do you know anything about that?
I do not.
Okay, so I read it because our friend Izzy wrote a post about it. It was, like, one of his first posts when he started writing for Lady Geek Girl and Friends, but it's, a relatively controversial Captain America comic that was written as a one-shot, and then they decided that it was the braver move to make it part of the, like, official canon of Captain America's story, because it's about the group of black men who were experimented on by the U.S. government to test the super soldier serum before they used it on their, like, perfect white man subject.
So, and like, didn't that so happen? Like, that happened in real life.
I was going to say, yeah. So, like, what they actually probably would have done if they were trying to do a super soldier thing. But it's, like, kind of about, like, bring the story is telling Isaiah Bradley's story about, like, how, like, serum, like, 0.05 that wasn't, like, a perfect serum yet, like, affected him, and, like, the things he was able to do anyway, and, like, kind of Steve finding out about this legacy and promising to bring this story to the wider world.
See, Steve's a good guy.
Yeah, so, like, originally it wasn't considered, like, when they wrote it, it was, like, a one-shot, like, one-off thing, but then Marvel was like, actually, we're gonna make this part of the Captain America canon, and was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Well, not everyone, obviously, because some people are horrible racists, but...
A lot of people.
Yeah. But anyway, if Eli Bradley is the character in Marvel Rising, then that is his backstory to an extent, and that's why he's Patriot, because he's Isaiah Bradley's... Like, that's his code name.
Solid.
His grandson. But also including Ms. Marvel, which is exciting. Also voiced by a, like, Middle Eastern actress, which is good.
Do you know who?
I don't know her name, but I don't know any of these people's names. I can't even...
Oh, this is an old one.
Except for Chloe Bennett.
Oh, yeah, because Carol Danvers is also Ms. Marvel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because Captain Marvel is also going to be in the show, I guess, as, like, the team leader of all of these young superheroes, I guess.
Oh, okay. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, but
it
also
makes it harder to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, if you search, like, Marvel Rising on IMDb, it'll have the cast.
Yeah, good point.
And then the last, and I think the most interesting addition to the cast is Ms. America, because...
Like America Chavez?
Yeah, like America Chavez, because that's going to be the first LGBT character in any
Marvel
movie.
Oh, that's so
after 10 movies.
She's bi, right?
She's lesbian.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, she's gay. But, yeah, so that'll be interesting because it's, like, a very formative and, like, no, like that's, like, when you're like, oh, who's Miss America? Oh, well, she's a lesbian Latina superhero who punches holes between dimensions. Like, that's, like, what you lead with. So I can't imagine that they would not include it somehow in this
movie. I mean, it's kind of undeniable, right? Like, you don't really not put that in. Like, you can't avoid that.
Yeah. It's part of her story. Yeah, so I'm interested to see where that goes.
Solid.
But yeah, so it looks like it's going to be an interesting movie. And speaking of other Marvel animated movies...
Latino characters.
Yeah.
Miles Morales. Afro-Latino. Yeah. Which are both parts of his identity, which apparently was an issue on Twitter this weekend.
Yeah, I was watching that go down.
Well, you know, if one thing ties this country together, it's not just the white people that are racist, so hey, here we go. which is not a pass for anybody, because there still needs to be a second and third place, all the way down to 10th or however many groups you want to call out, whatever. Yeah, Miles Morales got a cool animated trailer. You saw this, correct? I didn't really get a chance to see too much of it.
It's, it looks pretty good. It is, it spends a lot of the trailer with his mask on and then just kind of, like, shows you his face at the end and you don't really get a sense of his character or the storyline that much. It's very much a teaser.
Okay.
But...
it's really artistic, right?
Yeah, it's very, like, the animation is very nice to look at. It's got a very interesting, like, aesthetic and color palette. And I am...
this looks... also... I'm watching it now, and there's, like, it's a weird CGI mix. Like, it's 3D CGI, but it's somehow, like, I don't know how to express it. It looks like 2D CGI. I don't know how to say it. Like, it looks purposely flat, you know what I mean? Like, it looks like a comic while still being three-dimensional. Yeah. It looks like if you were to get a studio to say, if you told them, hey, make Neo Tokyo, this is what it would be, but it's clearly New York. Oh, there's lots of Spider-Mans. Oh, man. This is so cool looking.
Right?
This is...
yeah,
his logo's like graffiti.
I think the thing that I'm most interested in turning out is the,
whoa.
I think the Spider-Verse thing is the thing that I'm most interested to see how it works out, because Spider-Verse implies that there's more than just Miles and Peter.
Yeah, because you get to see Miles and Peter, like, it just seeing, like, a black kid with, like, the Spider-Man costume on and, like, his afro and talking to, like, Peter Parker is what it appears to be. That's, like, a scene that could mean a lot to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. This is cool. Sorry, I got sidetracked. This is really great.
It's okay. Yeah, it looks really cool. But, yeah, I think the thing about the Spider-Verse thing is that, like, it opens up the story to include Anya Corazon, who is Spider-Girl, to include Jess, whose last name I can't remember, who's Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Pig, if we want to get shark-jumpy.
Screw it, bring him in.
You know, I mean, as long as they bring in at least one woman before they bring in Spider-Pig. So it's like the equivalent of saying, like, Disney doesn't, or like Marvel doesn't, Marvel's already making a movie with a cartoon raccoon as a character. DC doesn't even have a female-led movie yet. It's like, Marvel still doesn't have a female-led movie yet either, so.
They need to have a movie with a woman in it. At least Gamora was there. You can make the claim that she existed. They got to tree sidekick before DC got to female sidekick, I guess was the joke, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. I don't know. I mean, Marvel still is going to beat DC to the first female-led movie in a good universe, so, like... oh, man. Shade thrown.
Shade.
It looks good, though.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm excited about it. And speaking of other trailers that happened this week, I do not plan on seeing Jurassic World 2, but it was enjoyable to see Jeff Goldblum exist in the trailer.
So why aren't you going to see Jurassic World 2?
Because Jurassic World 1 was a sexist trash heap of a movie that undermined everything I love about the original Jurassic Park movie.
Was it a sexist trash heap or just sexist trash pile?
I mean, it was a pretty sexist trash heap. Like, every female character in the movie was either, like, a sexist trope or died in a horribly sexist way.
Right. But, I mean,
and like,
is that different than other movies?
I think it was especially frustrating in this movie because the woman in the first movie, like, Laura Dern's character, Ellie Sattler, in the first movie, is, like, she wears sensible clothing for her profession. She's just as intelligent as the other characters. No one nags her anymore about having children than they nag Sam Neill's character. Like, she's willing to stick her hand, like elbow deep in a pile of Triceratops poop just to figure something out. Like,
make sure you wash your hands.
Yeah. She actually calls out sexism. Like, she actually calls out sexism in that movie.
That's unrealistic.
Because
in the 90s, like, pish posh.
Like, because in the one scene where Hammond's like, are you sure I shouldn't go to find out what happened? She's like, you're old, why? And he's like, because I'm a man, and she's like, let's talk about sexism later. I'm gonna go do this thing that needs to be done. And in this one, the crowning moment of the movie is her running in high heels.
Oh, okay.
After being negged for the entire movie
by Chris Pratt. Being negged?
Yeah.
See, you took more out of his performance than I did. I found it very uninspiring. And for someone to be negged by what he did, I find that hard to believe that he even gave the attempt to do that.
Well, I mean, I think it was boosted by the fact that she is, negged by everyone else in the movie as well.
Oh. Huh.
Her character, at least not in terms of, like, hey, get with that guy, but, like, in terms of, like, you shouldn't be a cold professional, you should want to have children, because that's what women are for, wanting children. Like,
that's the whole point of Jurassic Park, Steph. That's the central premise. Women find a way to make more.
Find a way to have children.
Despite the fact.
Life finds a way.
That's the thesis of Jurassic Park. That's so stupid. I'm just joking. But I guarantee you, someone probably, like, in the rational YouTube sphere, rational and big bold air quotes, may have made that point seriously, and I was just being a dick to be funny. Oh no. Oh no, not Godwin's Law, no.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll fix these mistakes. I mean, I'm not going to go see the movie to see, but if I'm told that they're fixed, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, I didn't recognize that sexist stuff on my first pass, and I also didn't like the movie, so taking sexism out of Jurassic World wouldn't have saved it. If that makes you feel better, I don't know. It'd be good if there wasn't sexism in movies. Well, yeah. Let me phrase that. It'd be good if there wasn't sexism in the creation and treatment of characters in movies. If you want to put a sexist person character in a movie, that's not that bad. You could tell a good story about that. We've seen many great films that are tackling racism. Hell, even Tarantino was like, if you have slaves, I don't mind if you get shot. Yes, I say the N-word a lot, but I at least will draw a line in the sand and say slavery is bad. And you know what? That used to be a pretty low bar to climb over, but not anymore, it's not. So, you know what?
Jesus.
I'm not giving the man a pat on the back, but I am saying that he's further above the curve than we thought. Yep, there's that. Anything else you want to talk about as far as movies and stuff?
I think it's time to go to a break.
Okay, let's take a break. This is a very long episode, you guys, but it's been a very long warning, week.
Like we said, it's been a long week.
Yeah, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hello, hello, hello. I hope you enjoyed that music. As always, it'll be in the show notes. Go check it out. They're artists. They work real hard. They deserve your time. And maybe support them financially, because Patreon decided to screw everybody. It's been a busy week for games, actually. I feel like we don't have quite as many stories, but a lot of cool, cool announcements. I'm going to jump to the end of the list real quick. The Game Awards were this past Thursday, and I'm not going to get into all the awards, because I think we talked about doing like a Grammy episode, and we might as well throw like all the award show stuff into one episode. But the Game Awards happened, and since they are corporate shill fest, they announced some games and did some previews. They did a preview for that Death Stranding game with Guillermo del Toro and Kojima
and Mads Mikkelsen
and Norman Reedus. So like, it's just a mess, and people are like, I don't never need this game, I just need to keep seeing this kind of thing. But they also they hyped me up. They're bringing Bayonetta 1 and 2 to the Switch, which is a great place for it, because people actually bought the Switch on like the Wii U. And they also announced Bayonetta 3. So, like, nice. this franchise keeps getting a second and third chance because people love it, even though it's not selling that well. People keep expressing, like, we want this game. You just, I can't play it. I'm like, well, we'll put it on PC and we'll put it on Switch. Like, so pretty much if you have a computer or Nintendo system. I played a little bit of the first one, and I own the 2-pack of the second one, but I never played it because Smash Bros. And Overwatch. But I'm probably gonna buy it for Switch and not play it again. But Bayonetta 3 got announced, so that's pretty cool. And some other announcements, I can't remember what, but apparently it's like a coked up fever dream to watch. I was too busy watching Overwatch League, I didn't care about the Game Awards. But you want to go through these announcements stuff? You think that's a good idea to just go through these in order?
So
Capcom had a hell of a week too, specifically.
How so?
They I guess that it's like I don't know what exactly it was. I guess they're having a con, because there's also like a Street Fighter tournament happening right now, like Capcom Unity event. I don't know exactly, but like, so that's happening. ATM. But they announced a Mega Man X collection for the Mega Man 30th anniversary. So all the Mega Man X games, I'm assuming 1 through 8, but they also might have like the RPG on there, and I don't know if there's a 9 and 10, but that'd be cool to get them all in one collection. I think it's coming to pretty much everything. Or everything but Switch, I can't remember. That's good. But they're also coming out with Mega Man 11.
Nice. So that is not the one after Mega Man X. Mega Man X is
Mega Man X is
Roman numeral.
No, Mega Man X is just the letter X. apparently in lore, the X is because X is a variable, and Dr. Light hoped that Mega Man X would be able to be anything that the world needed in the future. Because Mega Man X didn't go into activation until many, many years after Dr. Light had died. And it does work because he has, I think Mega Man X has the ability to break the three laws, and like all the Reploids and stuff are based off his programming. He doesn't defy the three laws against humanity, but he's not bound to them. And he has like the same power upgrade system that Mega Man did, like the copy program. So X as a variable works very well, but if we're being honest, it's because it was the 90s and X's are cool. if we're keeping it 100. So it's Mega Man X 1 through 8, like X1, X2, etc. But the Mega Man 11 comes after Mega Man 10, which comes after Mega Man 9. Those are in not Roman numerals. so Mega Man 1 through 6 had like the 8-bit graphics. They were on the Nintendo. Then 7 was on the Super Nintendo, so it was 16-bit. And then 8 was on like the PlayStation and Sega Saturn, so it was 32-bit. And Mega Man 9 and 10 were on the next-gen systems, but they were all 8-bit again, like the old days. But Mega Man 11 is, like, 3D models. It's still a 2D game, but, like, it looks like Mighty No. 9, but if it was done well. And I think somebody at Capcom is being shady by making it look that way. like, not everyone's in love with the art style, but it looks alright. It looks playable. It looks like a competent Mega Man game. Hopefully it'll be good, but it is nice to see that they are still invested in the franchise. And there's a new Street Fighter collection, so all the mainline Street Fighter games are going to come to a single thing. I just saw that today.
Single box.
A single box, a single purchase kind of thing, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, were you ever into, like, the Mega Man games or anything?
I don't think so. What platform were they for? We were always a PlayStation family, so...
So, the only one of them came to PlayStation, that would have been Mega Man 8. All the rest were, like, before that, like, on the Nintendo and Super Nintendo.
Now then.
Okay.
He's played a lot of Spyro and Crash Bandicoot.
Okay, so that's when you came in, was like the 3D type stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so there's like, we had like Sega and all the old stuff, and apparently like there was a game that had the first, like it was called the Wily Wars, which is like the first three Mega Man games on Sega Genesis. We had like the Sega Channel, so we were able to like play all these games like on trial basis, which was really cool, and we rented a lot of games. But Mega Man X was really what me and my brother fell in love with, because like it's everything like that's badass about the 90s. And also progressive about the 90s, because Zero has long blonde hair and boob lights, and nobody seems to care. And we were all fine with Zero being a girl, and then we found out Zero wasn't a girl. We're like, still rolling with it, doesn't bother me. I don't really know why he's designed that way, but he's definitely like one of the most like 90s cool things. But yeah, so X was always what my brother and I liked. They were much easier than the mainline franchise, but tons of fun. Capcom needs to stop being cowards though and bring us a Battle Network game. Those were cool, like on the Game Boy Advance. And the premise of those is, instead of going with robotics, what if they went with like internet technology? And that sounds ridiculous, and it is, but it's an amazing game, and it's actually an interesting setup. Street Fighters, it's whatever. It's a fun game. Did you look at this next link I sent you by chance?
I did not look at the link, but I did read the kinda.
Yeah, so check this out. So Valve, famous company behind Steam, once noted game maker, now just Steam peddler and Team Fortress 2 updater. I guess they do Dota. They have a new Portal game coming out, kind of. It's a physics bridge builder. It's called Bridge Constructor Portal. And basically what it seems to be is somebody made a bridge physics game and got the license from Valve to use like the Aperture Science visuals. It's not what people want, but it's just gonna have like the same sense of humor. It's gonna be on Steam, so computers, the App Store, Google Play, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, so everybody can play it.
Jeez.
It's probably not gonna be expensive, but instead of making Half-Life 3 or Portal 3 or Left 4 Dead 3 or Team Fortress 3 or Dota 3, they're giving us Portal Bridge Constructor. So yeah, you know,
I mean, like, would this have...
No, not at all.
I mean, like, would this have taken anywhere near as much time as it would have to create any of those other things?
No, it's not even made by Valve. It didn't take any time by them. They just had to, like, sign the rights over, so it took no time from them, other than reviewing it to see that it wasn't a piece of garbage. It's probably going to be it's going to be, like, an alright little bridge simulator maker game. Like, it's going to be competent, it's going to be alright. It's just that... seeing the Portal stuff on is like, we could have gotten a Portal thing.
Adele voice.
Yeah, and instead we get Bridge Constructor, which is like, okay, whatever. But I guess there's going to be portals in it. So, you know, get your physics fix. And something that was an announcement that made me very, very happy in a lot of the, sort of the indie sphere, this game called Iconoclasts has finally has a release date.
Yes, it looks really cool.
It looks so cool. I think the first year I wrote for the blog, my final post was, like, games I'm looking forward to. And I think it was, like, 2015, maybe. It was, like, I was, like, I'm looking forward to Iconoclasts when it comes out. And I still am, and I know that... it's by Joachim Sandberg. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I'm not sure where he's from. But he's been working on this game... he's Sweden. But he's been working on this game for, like, a hella long time. In his words, my long-term life-commanding game, Iconoclast, finally has a release date. January 23rd in the United States and EU for PS4, PS Vita, PC, Mac, and Linux. And I'm going to be playing this on January 23rd for sure. And the animated trailer looks amazing. Like, it looks so good.
Yeah.
I think I played a demo for it.
The character designs are just, like, very good.
Yo, 110% my shit. Like,
yeah, they're right up your alley.
Oh, it's so good. And, like, her weapon's a wrench, so, like, unconventional weapons, totally my shit. Like, everything about this game is... I'm looking forward to. So, congrats to Konjac himself. This is his nickname and profile. But it looks really good, and it's going to be a lot. I did play a demo of it many years back, and it does feel nice and fluid. So, yeah. And lastly, just a bunch of, like, Overwatch stuff. we've been told we're going to be able to get, like, Overwatch League skins in the game. They're going to do, like, a credit system. Like, it's going to be all money-based, so not loot box, not random, from what I can tell. They're just going to, like, have, like, you'll buy, like, League credits, and half that goes to, like, the Overwatch League so they can pay teams and whatnot. And, but they're like, hey, we're going to give everybody a free, enough to buy a free skin just from logging on. So I'm assuming you're going to be able to buy other stuff like sprays or something, which I don't really care about that. I just want the skins because some of these color schemes are sick as hell. But we're going to be able to get that stuff coming up. And the winter event's coming up on Tuesday. So, like, new, mostly Christmas skins, honestly, and some icy type stuff. Hopefully, again, we get some other holidays. I think we're getting Gay Hanzo. Reflections Hanzo. And you can buy, like, Overwatch League jerseys and stuff in real life. So, like, the home colors, like the starter jerseys, are basically just the team's name and logo. It doesn't have the player names or numbers on it, but you can buy those at the store, at the Blizzard Gear store, and like hats and keychains and buttons and stuff like that, and just various merchandise and t-shirts.
So. Yeah.
They look sick.
The announcement about the Hanzo skin was like, a skin people have been clamoring for is that going we've seen to be too.
Like,
yeah, that we've seen. And like thinking back, like there I don't think Hanzo's in any of the comics except for Reflection.
That's the only time we see him if I recall correctly.
So
maybe like the Junkenstein's Revenge. But, like, there's no need to release that right now. Like, that'd be really
weird. Yeah, that would weird. Be, like, really weird to release not at Halloween.
Yeah, so it's gotta be this one. Unless he has some weird skin in Heroes of the Storm, which he might, and that'd be cool to get, because they consistently keep getting great skins for Overwatch characters that aren't in Overwatch. And people are like, come on, Blizzard, like, Zarya has great skins in Heroes of the Storm. Can we get them in Overwatch? Because their skins in Overwatch aren't that great. But they're getting better, so, you know. Might have to pick up a jersey for the... for the Houston Outlaws. That black and green looks fire.
Yes.
And you'll have to log on and get your box per the usual stuff.
Yeah, my once every like 3 months log on to Overwatch to update the software and open my free loot box.
You should give it a play. It's a fun game.
I do want to. I really do.
We need like some more. We need more. We need some tank mains, honestly. There's not a lot of tank mains. There's like four streamers that are tank mains. Everybody else plays DPS or support, mostly DPS. We don't need any more support mains. I'm already here doing a good job, you know. Lucio, Moira,
yeah.
All day, baby. We need some tanks, some D.Va, some Orisas. I guess I'm a flex. I flex. Yeah, baby, I flex. Yeah, listeners, I'm a flex. You need Orisa, you need D.Va. How about Lucio? How about Moira? What about Sombra? You need a rogue Junkrat? I got you covered. Anything, all day. So, you know. Be a team member. do we have any what you got this week or recommendations? Do we need to take a break or are we pretty much done?
I didn't put anything on there because I figured this episode was going to be so long anyway.
Look at you being a good person.
That we could, that we, anything wasn't worth talking about.
Yeah, I don't think
like,
there's a whole lot of extra.
Maybe bring up next week instead when hopefully not all of the things in the world happen.
Yeah, maybe then. And we're still thinking about doing, like, what we're going to do for a special. So, might, like, recap, like, the holiday season awards ceremonies and stuff. And we're going to do our drunk questions episode. So, we're going to start collecting questions here soon. And we should definitely do this one in person. So, I don't have to, like, have to go back and edit too much of it because it's going to be incomprehensible. And we can actually just drink on every question or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Alcohol. Like... yay, responsible alcoholism.
Yay.
I think that's everything for this week. We did a lot of clerical work, getting more guests, so character reveal is going to start back up at the beginning of the year. It's really hard to
get consistent guests. Fingers crossed.
Well, the hard part is having enough, because what I don't like to do, listeners, is release you like episodes as we get them and then not be able to get some, so that like that's how we get these erratic schedules that we've been getting. So what I wanted to do is get, like, a nice backlog so that we can keep working guests and then have a semi-consistent schedule. Like, we really do try to be consistent, but it's difficult. We both do full-time jobs and keep up with a lot of stuff, so we're trying, we're doing our best. And that's why we do contests, to give you guys a little something-something on the side. And it's going to be weird trying to do the Patreon thing, because that's getting kind of weird right now. So going to keep figuring that out and seeing what we can do. But we're still dedicated to bringing you all highest quality content that we can.
Yes.
But in the meantime, Steph, you want to kick this social media business?
Yeah, let's do this. So if you want to find us on the internet, you can. You can find us on Twitter at CharacterRev, two R's in the middle, character R-E-V. You can find Dom and I on Twitter at BrotherDom and at CaptainSteph. You can find Character Reveal on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. Just those two words. You can find us on Instagram at Character Reveal. You can find Dom and I on Tumblr at BrotherDom and The Snow Queer. You can find Dom pretty much anywhere else in the world at BrotherDom. You can find me on Instagram at HellaSteph. You can find us on Patreon if you still want to be using that shit. Patreon.com/character reveal. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, where else? Oh God, on Google Play Podcasts,
iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else you find.
Yeah, anywhere podcast, else you like to listen to podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review. That's all cool. You can also just listen to us in your browser, which a lot of people apparently do. That is characterreveal.simplecast.fm with the latest episodes. And I think that's all of it.
That sounds about right. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's wrong, because it sounds right. Yeah, listeners, thanks for hanging out with us for another one. I think this one ran a little bit long, but not our longest. So, you know. Season's greetings, right?
Yep.
But yeah, and until next time, see you later.
Bye.